You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You ready for the Word?
Yes.
Turn with me to Matthew 21. I want to share a simple message with you tonight. You know, I think about things like this, like I'm going to share tonight. Now I think about the setting that we're in here. We're in church, you know, all of which is ordained of God. It's one thing to read your Bible, you ought to. It's one thing to pray, you ought to pray. It's one thing to worship, you ought to worship. But, you know, church is a God thing. God ordained church, the church universal. When you accepted Jesus, you became a part of the church of God at large. And then, of course, the example of that, or the copy or the shadow of that, or the picture of that, is local churches. Everybody ought to be involved in local church. God did not ordain that you serve God all by yourself. There's no such thing as the first church of the VCR, or the first church of the DVD, or whatever, you know, it is today. They're good. They're good tools. I watch Christian DVDs and listen to Christian teaching, and on the internet, you can get our teaching on the internet, the videos and audios, and that's wonderful. But, you know, you need to be in church somewhere. There is something that goes on in church. There's an anointing. There is a corporate anointing in church, in worship, in prayer, in the Word, that you do not get by yourself. As good as the Word is, I love the Word. As good as I love reading and studying the Word, and I shout sometimes when I'm studying. It's nothing like church. It's nothing. There's a different kind of anointing, because now we're putting it all together. We're putting the Word and the worship and the Spirit and church, all of which is ordained of God and all has its place. Now we're putting it all together, and God's able to move in a greater way in your life. So, you know, when you come to church, you ought to come with an expectancy, because we are gathered together here in the presence of God. We are. We're gathered together in His. We've worshiped Him. Our focus is on Him. We're now opening up His Word for His Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us. And this is a special time in our lives. It's a special time Sunday morning, special time Wednesday night. Thank you for coming. You know, and I look forward to it. I love church. I love to get in the presence of God. I love to get in here, because there's just no place like church. I can't duplicate this at home. I can't do it. I mean, I can get in this place. I can get it. I've had the Spirit come on me. Don't get me wrong. But there's just something about this place, as it is, should be in every church. There's something about when God's people get together. The two or three are gathered together in His name. Hallelujah. That's when the Spirit really begins to move in a special way. Hallelujah. So as we break bread here tonight, the bread of God's Word, amen, let's pay attention. Because we're going to hear some life-changing stuff. I believe God's in the business of changing lives. Yeah. Something's going to burn in you tonight. Something's going to come alive to you tonight. Something simple yet profound. Maybe you've heard over and over. But man, it's going to just explode in Jesus' name. Matthew 21. You got there? Yes. I want to teach a simple message on faith. On believing God. Trusting God. Because really, you know, God's not random. God doesn't do random. God moves for those who trust Him. He moves when you call on Him. He saves those that call on His name. That's pure and simple. You go through the Scriptures concerning salvation. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him, whoever believes on Him. See the condition there. So you and I have an obligation to call, to believe, to trust God. And that's a condition that's there. God's wanting to move in everyone's lives. But He's only able because He chose this, not because He's weak or powerless, but God chose to move, are you with me, on behalf of those who call on Him, believe in Him. He could move if He wanted to, but He decided not to. He decided to give you the opportunity to call. The world is what it is because God made it that way. Are you with me? It fell, and God didn't interfere because He gave people free will. The problem with the world is us and the devil. And God chose to make it in such a way that there were consequences to our actions. God didn't make evil. Are you with me? He didn't make all death. He didn't make all that. That's the result of choices we've made, but He made the world in such a way that if we make the wrong choices, and Adam did, and Satan did, that there's going to be consequences. That's the world God made. And so prayer has rules, just like anything. I mean, if you're going to pray and believe God and trust God, then you're going to get results. If you're going to pray and you're not going to believe God and not trust God, you're not going to get results. Because the Scripture's real plain that you have to believe. Y'all see that? So, you know, it doesn't matter what your concept of God is or my concept of God is or our philosophy. Sometimes you get in trouble with philosophy. Sometimes our ideals of God are from Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, you know, and those guys, and Hume, and, you know, and all. I mean, it just gets all messed up because we have a concept of God. It doesn't really matter. What matters is what God says in His Word. God knows more about Himself than we do. He sure knows more than Plato did. He made Plato. Are you with me? And if God said this the way it is, that's the way it is. And maybe it doesn't gee and haw, you know, as we say in Texas with our church doctrine or our denomination or whatever, International Outreach Church, First Baptist United Methodist Church, the lists are endless, and we're pro-church. But God's not a Baptist God, and He's not an International Outreach Church God, and He's not an Assembly God God, and He's not a Church Christ God, and He's not a Methodist God, and He's not a Catholic God. God is God, period. Are you out there? And this is what He will do. And this is who He is. His Word defines for us what He does, defines of us the rules He operates by, the world that He made. And we better make sure. Thank God there is great truth in all these churches, and hopefully there's truth here. But truth's not determined by bylaws and constitutions. It's not determined by what we believe here at International Outreach Church. It's determined by the Word. And my obligation as a pastor is to point you to the Word so that you find in the Word consistently what God says on a certain subject, whatever that subject is. And because we haven't done that and we've listened to man instead of God, we've cheated ourselves. We've been spoiled through philosophy many times. We've been talked out of answers to prayer. We've been talked out of the power of God. It seems like man, when man gets involved, man's idea or logic or philosophy gets involved, it always robs us of power. You ever notice that? That's basically what it always does. It always steals something from us. But when we're listening to God and operating on the true Word of God, power is released. All of Jesus comes along, man, He is healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils. I mean, there's power present. And the Pharisees tried to shut Him down. They always wanted to shut Him down when He did a miracle. How dare you do that in the Sabbath, on the Sabbath in the synagogue? 6 days you can go and get healed. How dare you? Don't come in here in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Well, that ought to be the place where you could get healed is in the church. Man, if you can't get healed in church, where can you get healed? But, you know, because of unbelief, God hasn't been moving, you know, in many places. He had moved in my life in many cases because I didn't believe. I'm not condemning anybody, beating anybody over the head. I'm not perfect. Every prayer I pray doesn't happen or didn't come to pass. But it's not God's fault. Are you with me? God didn't miss it. I didn't believe something I didn't do. And I can live with that. I go back to the drawing board, work on it. I'm not perfect. I'm growing. How about you? So there's no condemnation. Sometimes people die. But if they love Jesus, they're going to go to heaven. We rejoice in that. Could they have been healed? Yeah, I really believe that. I believe everybody can be healed. Somewhere, somebody missed it. We're not perfect. We gave in. We didn't believe. But you know what? It's not condemnation. We don't condemn and judge. Thank God for heaven. Are you out there? But let's don't point that finger at God. God's not the problem. He's not random. He's not, oh, I just think I'll heal him, I won't heal him, or I'll just take you and not take you. You know, like there's a time to die. There's no. The Bible doesn't talk about an appointed time to die. It says appointed a man wants to die. I mean, that's not in the Scripture. In fact, you can add years to your life just by being nice to your parents. That's what Scripture says. It says honor your parents that you may live long. There are many promises in the Bible that would lengthen your life. It literally says that you may live long, that your days may be long, that you add years to your life by doing certain things. Wow, so there's no appointed time. You ever notice that the people Jesus raised from the dead were all of them young people? Wasn't their time. This idea that we have a time. We're going to die, I understand that, because we're in a world where our body is decaying and we're going to get old and we're going to die. Till Jesus comes back, can't stop that. Death. Age happens. Outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. But you know, you can get healed and you can live a good long life. Are you out there? Yes. Now, you've got to use some wisdom, obviously. You can't just keep hitting yourself in the head with a hammer and expect not to get a knot on your head. But okay. So, what's the key? I mean, a lot of people pray. Some people get the prayers answered. Some people don't. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. What's the deal? What's happening here? Well, Matthew 21. Gave you plenty of time to get there?
Sure.
Notice this. Jesus says in Matthew 21, in the 21st verse, so Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you," or "verily I say," I think King James says, "verily I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt." Now this is Jesus speaking. This is not Michael Williams speaking. This is Jesus speaking. "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree." Jesus spoke to that fig tree and it died. He commanded it to die. It did. They marveled at it. And he says, "Well, if you just have faith and not doubt, not only will you do what was done to this fig tree, but also if you say this mountain be removed and be thou cast in the sea, it will be done." That'll blow your religious mind. But that is what Jesus said. 22nd verse says, "And whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive." Wow. Y'all's Bible read something like that? I mean, that's pretty much what it reads, isn't it? That's what Jesus said. Now, you've got a choice, obviously, to believe Jesus or believe your experience. You know, we've lived long enough, sometimes we're a lot smarter than God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've tried this enough to know that doesn't work. But you still have to deal with this. Jesus said that. So if it didn't work, what happened? I think we missed a point here. At some point, we didn't believe. And that doesn't mean we're evil and wicked and corrupt. It means we need to go back to the drawing board and keep our faith high in God. Amen? Because Jesus said, this is what Jesus said. Now, I believe Jesus. "And whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive." That's pretty strong, isn't it? Turn over to Mark 11. This is the same account, Mark 11. Incidentally, worded slightly different, but it's still good stuff nonetheless. Y'all, I got this new shirt and I got strings everywhere. So here, you can have that and maybe sew a button or something later with it. But Mark 11. Y'all out there? Mark 11, 22nd verse. "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God." I love that. That'd be a good thing to do, wouldn't it? Have faith in God. We put faith in everything else. Let's have faith in God. He says, "Have faith in God, for assuredly or verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." Wow. Now, you know what's really, you're talking about building a case, this is twice he said that now. He said that over there in Matthew 21, now he's saying it again over here in Mark 11, and he says, whosoever, everybody say whosoever. I love that. You say, well, now he's talking to those disciples. No, wait a minute, I might remind you of a scripture that uses the word whosoever. It's called John 3:16. Yeah. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever..." Of course, he was just talking to Nicodemus. No, he was talking to whosoever, wasn't he? Everybody knows that. Every Bible commentator would tell you that. Every preacher would tell you that. "Whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Man, we preach that in pulpits all around the world, and rightly so. That when you believe on Jesus, praise God, you are snatched out of the jaws of hell and out of darkness into light. Praise God, that you're no longer lost, you're saved, you're going to heaven because you have believed. According to the Scripture, you believed on Jesus, and whosoever believes on him would not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah, somebody. Good stuff, I believe it. But this is Jesus speaking here, isn't it? Isn't that in red? Can't you? It's in red, you can believe it, amen? And he says, "Whosoever shall say to this mountain..." You could say problem, you could say an obstacle or tragedy, whatever, crisis, whatever. "Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, go." No. Not "I accept this, I receive this." No, you say to it, go.
That's right.
You go. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. See, there's the faith. But shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He will have whatever he says. You know, it's interesting. Jesus didn't say you have whatever you say, period. He said if you believe, you'll have whatever you say. Isn't that right?
Right.
That's twice we've seen that. Notice the next verse. 24th verse. Therefore I say to you, I always love that. Man, goodness gracious. I got so many scriptures I want to get to, and I want to have a camp meeting on each one. Jesus just gave us a principle or a law there, obviously. And the law is that if you believe what you say, you'll have what you say that you believe. Okay? That's the law. That's the principle. Sure as gravity's true, that principle's true too. Sure as you jump off a roof, you hit ground. When you start believing what you're saying, you're going to get what you're saying, whether that's good or bad.
Yes.
Amen? Yes. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So he says here, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say to you, everybody say therefore.
Therefore.
That's significant because what he's saying is, now I'm going to say something. Therefore, in light of what I just said, therefore, right? When you see a therefore, you always stop and look and see what it's there for. And therefore always refers to what has just been said. So Jesus is saying, this is a law. This is a principle. Whoever says something and believes what they say and does not doubt what they say will come to pass. Therefore, I say something. You believe Jesus gets what he says?
Yeah.
I believe it. I believe Jesus didn't doubt anything he said. I just don't think Jesus went around saying things he didn't believe. He's God. I mean, when he said something, he believed it. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. Believe you receive them, and you shall have them.
That's right.
Now, that's not just a principle that whatever I believe when I pray, whatever I believe for when I pray, I will receive. You have Jesus believing that for you too. Because Jesus said, and he believes what he says, he said, therefore I say to you, I'm going to say something now and you can take my word on this. I'm putting my faith behind this. I'm Jesus and I am saying to you now. I'm saying to you that whatever things you desire when you pray, you believe when you pray, you believe you receive them and you'll have them. And you got Jesus' word on that. Oh, wow. That's better preaching, y'all are shouting. But we often don't look at it that way. We say, okay, well, you know, we can do it or not do it. Well, now Jesus is standing behind it. He's standing behind that. When you go and you pray the word and you believe that you receive from God what God has promised, Jesus is backing that up. You're just taking his word on it. And I believe his word's good, don't you? I believe the word of Jesus can be. I don't know what everybody else says about this, but I know what Jesus said about this.
Yeah.
And he made a statement about this. I'm going to believe Jesus. I'm going to take his word for it. I'm going to believe when I pray.
Amen.
And whatever things I'm praying for, I'm going to believe I receive them, and I'm going to get them. That's what Jesus said. Or else, really, why waste your time praying? I mean, if you're just praying, Lord, whatever, well, don't pray. If you're just praying, Lord, you know, if it be your will, well, that means you don't know what his will is and you don't know whether it's going to happen or not, and you really don't need to be wasting God's time and yours either. Because whatever's going to happen is going to happen, Captain. Are you with me? God told us to find out his will and pray his will. He's told us to pray his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. His will is specific. His will is his word. His will is that you believe on Jesus. And if you believe on him, you'll not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. His will is that you don't go to hell, that you go to heaven. That's his will because that's his word. That's what his word says. And when you pray his will, not if it be thy will, Lord, I pray for Jesus to come into my life and save me if it be thy will, but if not, let me go to hell. No, are you with me? When you pray, Lord, save me if it be your will, you might not pray. It is his will. You're supposed to pray, Lord, save me, period, I believe, period, and hey, get saved.
Amen.
Isn't that right? I mean, that's the way you get saved. I mean, that's just taking him at his word. Those words aren't any more true than all the other words he said. That's good stuff, I'm telling you. This will stir you, see? I think we should go back to our salvation every time, every case. I am saved because I believe God's word about salvation.
Amen.
Well, you can get healed by believing His word on healing. You can get peace by believing His word on peace. He's not a man he'd lie, nor the son of man he'd repent. Whatever he said, he believes it. On any subject he talks on, it's the word. It's God's word.
Yeah.
It can be stood upon.
Yeah.
Now, the key is we got to believe it when we pray it. Because when we believe, we receive what we pray for, then we get what we pray for. All things that you ask in prayer, believing, Matthew 21:22, all things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
And here, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them when you pray, and you shall have them. Mark 11:24. And this principle you see over and over and over in the Bible. James 1st chapter, turn there. Oh, this is good. Woo. On whatever the subject is. I mean, I don't know what your need is. Our needs vary. They're different. You know, from time to time, day to day. Sometimes we need wisdom. Sometimes we need peace. Sometimes we need favor. Sometimes we need, you know, God to move in our life in one area or another. Maybe it's healing, prosperity. Maybe it's baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean, you go right on down the list. I mean, there are needs. Needs change from day to day. But, you know, God's Word's there. His promises are there. And one thing doesn't change is the way we receive by faith. So whatever it is we need, I don't know, it could be various needs here tonight. But if we'll pray in faith, if we'll believe God, if we'll come and we'll believe Him, trust Him, then we will receive what we believe for.
Yeah. Right.
According to what Jesus said. Amen. James 1:5, here's a classic verse. I've prayed this lots of times. Man, I don't know how many times I've been in a situation where I need some wisdom. How about you? James 1:5, it says, if any man lack wisdom, man or woman, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally without reproach, and it will be given. But, next verse, sixth verse, let him ask in faith. Y'all see that? Let him ask in faith with no doubt and no wavering. Without wavering.
That's right.
For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose or think, King James says, think, that he shall receive anything from the Lord.
Right.
So here's a way to not get your prayers answered. Here's a classic way or classic case on what not to do. Pray and start doubting. Are you with me? Start wavering. Start talking negative. Start, oh, I don't know if that did any good or not. I don't believe that's going to work. I just don't think it's going to work. I just don't know. I don't know. Whoa, wait a minute. You're wavering now. You're doubting. You're vacillating. You're going back and forth. Now, let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. You can receive a lot of things by doubting. You just can't receive God's promises that way. Why is that? Because God only gives things to people that believe. You didn't get saved that way. You got saved by believing. Well, prayers get answered when you believe when you pray. According to the Word. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask God gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We can't be double-minded when we pray. If we're going to go into prayer, buddy, we're turning this over to God. We're turning this over to God. We're going to I don't know about everybody else. I don't know about all the things I've studied and read. I don't know about all the examples and all the people that have done this and didn't get through it. I don't know how many people have got the same thing I got and died. I don't know about all that. But I know what God says, and I'm going to God with this thing, and I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to put my eyes on Him, and I'm not going to waver here. I'm going to stay in faith.
Praise God.
Are you with me? Because I don't want to hinder Him. I don't want to stop Him. You know, it's amazing. You know, you don't have to believe to get sick. You can get sick without believing.
Yeah.
You don't have to believe to die. You can die. You can get depressed without believing. You don't have to. I don't know of anybody that believes for depression anyway. Do you? Just cries all night long and just beats the gates of heaven. Lord, I want to be depressed. No. Nobody does that. Depression just comes, doesn't it? But now the things of God don't come that way. The things of God come when you believe. Nobody just happens to get saved. You have to believe to get saved. Isn't that right? So you want to get out of the funk, get out of the mess, get out of the whatever's coming on. You're going to have to get in faith. Doubt's not going to get you together. You're going to doubt and do without is what you're going to do. You need to believe and receive what you need to do. And this scripture, of course, is all through. In fact, while we're in James, look at James 5. James 5th chapter. This is helping anybody. Okay. It's basic. It's simple. It's Christianity 101. It's faith 101. It's nothing complicated about this. It's nothing deep. It's just the Word, and it's all through the Word. James 5, notice what it says here. 13th verse, I think it's interesting here. It says, anybody suffering, let them pray. Yeah. Amen? Is anyone cheerful? Let them sing psalms. Nard said like this. He's talking to you. Now, if you're having a problem, you pray. Yeah. If you're cheerful, you sing. Yeah. You know, don't get somebody else to do it. You do it. You do it. Come on, we got to do this thing. We got to take some responsibility for it. Man, I'm feeling kind of happy. Tommy, sing me a song. No, I need to sing. Yeah. Are you out there? Next verse, 14th verse. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. Man, I've been waiting around all day for somebody to come by and pray for me. Well, have you called anybody? You call. You know, I get tickled. It's not funny, really, but I've actually had people get mad at me for not going and seeing them in the hospital, and I didn't even know they were in there. Really. You know, and I'm not perfect. I mean, I've missed it on occasion, you know, but there's lots of times they went in the hospital and got home, and I never heard a word. Nobody even told me anything, you know. And that preacher, he didn't even come by and see me. Well, I'm not a psychic. I hope you don't want a psychic preacher. I mean, call me. Call me. I'll come pray for you, you know. But we need to call for the elders of the church. I like that. We need to come to church and call. Isn't that what it says? Yeah. Let him call. Who? The one that's sick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's significant. I'm not really teaching on that per se, but that ought to tell you right there, God's not into you being sick. In fact, if you are sick, you need to call the elders of the church and get prayed for, because that is not God's will. Yeah. God didn't say, if you're sick, just stay in it. He said, you better call somebody. Because yeah. That's not what I want. That's not my will. That's not... Are you with me? He says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let's read on here. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Anointing him with oil. Everybody's not from Texas, didn't even catch that. But I said oil because that's what oil is. But up north, it's oil. Anyway, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Wow. Did it say prayer will save the sick? No, it said the prayer of faith will save the sick. There it is again. Isn't that something? Prayer of faith. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. James 1:6. And whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. Believe you receive them and you shall have them. Mark 11:24. Matthew 21:22. All things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Man, I think there's a pattern there, don't you think? I think that's a pretty solid doctrine, really. If you can find a doctrine in the Bible two or three times, you've got a pretty good doctrine. You find it 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20. Hello. Now you got something God's wanting us to pay attention to here.
Yeah, that's right.
It's over and over and over and over. And I'm just scratching the surface here. Listen, there's lots more scripture that says this, and I'm going to go to a couple more before we close out here. But that's amazing. Jesus said that over and over. And then James says it in the first chapter, says it again in the fifth chapter. There's something to this praying in faith, isn't there? Yeah. Oh, you faith people, I tell you, that faith bunch over there. Y'all faith boys over that name it and claim it and confess and possess bunch. Well, we're not the doubt and do withouters. I don't believe you can name anything and claim it, but you can name the word. If it's a promise, you can claim it. You can't just claim anything, but you can claim the word. If you can't claim the word, what can you claim? And are we faith preachers? Well, of course we preach faith. We don't preach doubt and unbelief. I mean, who has a service and say, I got a lot of things I want to say to you. When I get through, I don't want you to believe one word of it. I mean, the whole point of preaching is to get you to believe something. There's not a church anywhere that doesn't preach faith in some form. Now, they don't preach believe in everything, but they do preach believe in something. And their object, the object of every message, the object of every preacher and every pastor and evangelist and teacher and prophet and apostle and every church service, the object is to get you to believe something, to believe what they're preaching. Yeah. Or why? I mean, no one would deny that. There's nowhere, anybody anywhere that has a church of any kind would deny that. So enough of this faith preacher stuff. Of course, we're all faith preachers. The difference is what we're preaching faith in. Are you out there? I believe in everything in the Bible. See, that's why many times they'll call us full gospel. Not part of it, but the full gospel. We believe in the full gospel. We believe Jesus doesn't just save and doesn't just forgive and doesn't just give peace and doesn't just procure for us a home in heaven. We believe Jesus also heals and he baptized with the Holy Spirit. We believe he's a miracle worker. Are you with me? We believe everything we believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in its entirety. We don't just teach what he taught, we do what he did. We believe that what he did is just as valid and just as current and just as important as what he said. We believe in word and deed what Jesus is. We don't just preach part of Jesus, we believe in preaching all of Jesus. We don't just preach the Sermon on the Mount. We preach the raising of the dead and healing of the blind man. Amen. Are you with me? Because that's what the apostles did when Jesus rose from the dead. The book of Acts carries that on. The church ought to be doing the same thing. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you out there? So here we see, very plainly, even goes on, classic verse 16, verse says, confess your faults one to another and pray you one for another that you may be healed. We need to be praying for one another. Amen. And confessing our faults one to another. We don't need to be confessing each other's faults. We need to confess our faults. We need to get some phone calls like this. Hey, this is me. Did you hear what I did today? Not, did you hear what somebody else did today? You don't get a lot of those phone calls. But the Bible says to confess your faults, not somebody else's. And then it says pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it goes on and talks about Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, who prayed that it rained not for 3.5 years, and it rained not. And then he prayed that it rained, and it rained. Man, Elijah, that's awesome when you start studying Elijah. But it says Elijah was a man subject to like passions just like us. And he prayed that it rained not. He prayed. God didn't stop the rain without Elijah. He used Elijah's faith in his prayers to do that. Just like God uses our faith and our prayers to do what he does today. And we believe he saves us. We get together and pray and start building buildings and claiming land and calling in people and starting food banks and doing Hallelujah Night and supporting missions. He uses us and our faith to do that. He's wanting to do that all the time, but he's waiting for us to believe. You say, he doesn't have to do that. No, he sure doesn't. He doesn't have to do anything. But he chose to do that. But God can do whatever he wants to. Yes, he can, and this is what he wants to do. He doesn't need me. Well, you know, if he didn't need you, he would have made a world where he didn't need you. But he decided to make a world where he did need you. Quit arguing with God about the kind of world he made. He could have made any kind of world. This is the one he made. Okay? If you don't like it, I can't help that. This is the one God made. Well, I don't like that about praying and having to bleed to receive. Well, you have to take that up with Jesus. I didn't make the rules. He did. Well, I'd rather have God control everything. Well, that's fine. That's just not the way God did it. He could have. Do whatever he wants to. He's God. But the Bible tells us he gave us authority and he gave us responsibility and he's requiring faith from us and he's wanting us to call. He's wanting us involved in the process. Yes, sir. We're accountable. I mean, that's just the way that God made the world. Now, that's, if you have a problem, you have to see. You have to. It's not a matter of what kind of God God is. God's who he says he is. It comes down to the kind of world God made. That's what a lot of us have trouble with. We want the world to be different than it is, or we want prayer to be different than it is. But prayer is what God said it is, and the world is what God made it. He made a world where there's consequences to sin and our actions, and that's why it's in a mess. You say, why didn't he stop it? Well, he could have, and he will one day. But, you know, free will takes its course, and people still make bad decisions, and they still have bad consequences. Hello. Now, I can do something about it in my life. I can do something about it in my family. I can do something about it with my children. I can do something about it in my church. Hello. I can't change the whole world, but I can change me. You can't change the whole world, but you can make a difference in your life and in your family. Are you out there? Turn to Matthew 13. We're just having a fireside chat in the middle of July. 102, 103, 104 degrees outside. Metaphorically. This helping you? You know, I think we ought to think these things through. I mean, this affects our prayers. It affects our Christian walk and the way we think about God and the way we act and pray, what we pray for. If you don't have it straight and you're thinking about how this works, it's just going to mess up your prayers and you're going to live a disappointed life. Live in hope and die in desperation. All right. We need to keep hope alive. Amen. We do make a difference. Your prayers do count. God does hear you when you pray. He is waiting on you to pray. Now, this is interesting. In Matthew 13, this is where Jesus went to his hometown, and they did not receive him. In fact, they said, oh, we know who this guy is. This is Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter, and Mary's his mother, and over there's his brothers, and Joseph and Jesse, and Josie and Judas, and there's his sisters over here. Who does he think he is, this carpenter, this son of a carpenter, that he can do all these great things? And the Bible says they didn't receive him. In fact, Jesus said, prophets not without honor is without honor in his own country and among his own kin. You know, sometimes you can know someone so well, you can't see the anointing or the office that they're standing in. Because all you see is the flesh. All you see is, well, I grew up, I know him. I remember one guy I was witnessing to. I was working on a cooling tower. I'd gotten saved, you know, while I was working construction, and I was witnessing to this guy. He was from Center and led a lot of people to the Lord, you know. But everybody I witnessed to didn't get saved. But I was witnessing to this guy, and he says, I know you, Michael Williams. And he did. He knew me before I got saved. We'd done drugs and all kinds of wild stuff together, you know. I had a sordid past before I got saved, but I got saved. Hallelujah. And he pointed that finger. He said, I know you, Michael Williams. If you're saved, I'm saved. And I said, no, you're not. You're not saved, and you don't know me. You knew who I was, but you don't know who I am now. But see, he didn't receive it. I tried to minister to him, but he didn't receive it because all he could see was the way I was raised, the flesh, and you only missed it completely. Missed others, you know, picked up on the anointing, the Spirit moving, the prayers I was praying. They went past me and saw God and got saved. Hallelujah. And anybody that can get past you when you're witness to them, they'll get saved. If they can't get past you, they're not going to. That's why you've got to be, you know, careful and cautious that you don't point to yourself, that you point to Him, because it's not you, it's Him. But here's Jesus, the Son of God. Come on. We're talking God coming in the flesh, visiting earth, walking around, and people didn't receive Him. Because they looked at Him in the flesh. They had Him in a box. They had Him categorized. That's Joseph's son. That's the son of a carpenter. And the Bible says, are you ready for this? This is where Jesus said, 57th verse, 13th chapter of Matthew. So they were offended at Him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now, He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Wow. Did y'all catch that? King James says He could do no mighty work there. He could not. He could not. Why? Because they didn't believe. And He couldn't heal them if they didn't believe. And He couldn't forgive them if they didn't believe. no more He can save you if you don't believe. And sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And many times in our praying, we're praying, but we're not believing. I prayed for a lot of stuff and not believe. Anybody join me in this one? Thank you. Got a couple of you on this. But there's times I really got serious and I got in faith. I'll tell you what. I got serious and I pressed through and I was passionate and I was quoting every scripture and I was focusing in and I was looking at God and I was believing God and standing on His word. And I'll tell you what, I got those prayers answered. We get so distracted with so many things in life, sometimes we lose our focus. And it's not God. It's not God holding it back. We've got to get serious and believe to get prayers answered. It takes faith to get prayers answered. Remember the disciples couldn't cast out? Jesus said, this kind only comes out through fasting and prayer. In other words, serious business, serious praying is what He was saying. This kind, you know, you got to believe to get the devil out of this man. So He was telling them that you weren't believing. That's just bottom line. You need to get serious about this one. Some things are a little more serious than other things. Are you with me? And if it says Jesus Himself could not do it because of their unbelief, then my faith and your faith has a lot to do with what God does in our lives. Well, if He wants me to have it, He'll just give it to me. Oh, no, it doesn't work that way. Well, if He wants it to happen, it'll happen. No, that's not what the Scripture says. If I believe, it'll happen. Whatsoever things I desire when I pray, if I believe I receive them, I shall have them. And all things that I ask in prayer, believing I shall receive. And if I need wisdom, I ask of God, but I ask in faith, nothing wavering. Are you with me? And if I'm sick and call the elders of the church and they lay hands on me and anoint me with oil, they can slap a gallon of oil on me. If they don't pray in faith, not going to heal me, because only the prayer of faith saves the sick.
That's right.
Isn't that right? Hey, real quick. I want to challenge you. You know what I do. I just go through the Scripture and challenge you, ask questions, make you think. I know it's not fair. You're not supposed to have to think when you come to church. Matthew 9, you're supposed to hear a nice little sermon, maybe a poem or two, and maybe a song, and we all go home and everybody's happy. But here, I want you to think. I want you to think about your life, think about your prayers, think about how you're praying, think about how you're living. Are you living holy? Are you living right? I want you to think about it. Amen? And you should. You should come to and reflect on this and look at the Word and examine your life and look. Was that what God says? Is that in the Bible? Why do I believe that? Do you know why you believe what you believe? You should know. You should know where it is in the Bible. You should be standing on God's Word, not International Outreach Church doctrine or what Pastor Mike says. Pastor Michael, I can't help you. I can't heal you. Are you with me? Jesus can. I agree with you. Woo! I can lead you to Him. I can get you in faith. But you got to believe. You got to make that step. So it says here, and this is an awesome, awesome story. I'll run through it. Is that possible? Matthew 9. Wow, this is actually, we talked about this a couple weeks ago about where Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead and wanted the issue of blood. Okay, well, right after that, I mean, you talk about things were popping in Jesus' ministry. Here's this woman gets healed. Here's this young girl He raises from the dead. And it says in the 27th verse, that was right after the 20th. In fact, He raised that girl from the dead, the 25th verse. 27th verse of Matthew 9, it says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed Him and came out and said, Son of David, have mercy on us. That's a teaching all of itself. Anybody believe in mercy? I believe in mercy. You believe the mercy of God endures forever? Scripture says that once or twice. Scripture says that over and over and over. You ought to go through the Psalms. It's unreal how many times it says the mercy of the Lord endures forever. Well, I believe God's mercy is still around. It hadn't passed away. You believe mercy's passed away? I think God's still merciful, don't you? Well, this man's asking for mercy. What's he asking for? These two men, what are they asking for? Healing. He called it what? Mercy. So healing's an act of mercy, isn't it? Okay, so if mercy's never passed away and His mercy endures forever, then healing's still around because God's mercy's still around.
That's right. That's good.
Okay. All right. I'm running. And he says, Son of David, they say, Son of David, have mercy on us. 28th verse. And when He had come into the house, the blind men came. They came to Him. And Jesus said to them, whoa, wait a minute. Are y'all ready for this? Everybody sitting down? Okay. Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" Well, what in the world does that have to do with anything? Well, evidently, everything. That's Jesus asking that question. He didn't say, "Come on up here, I'll heal you." He said, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" You say, "Well, he didn't say that to Jairus." Well, go back and read what Jairus said when he went to Jesus. He told Jesus, he said, "You come lay your hands on my daughter and she shall live." He already believed. They knew it. Jesus heard him say that. Jesus didn't have to ask, "Do you believe?" In fact, when there was a moment to doubt, when they said she died, notice what Jesus said. He said, "Fear not, only believe. Keep on believing." Because he was already believing. Well, he didn't say anything to that woman, "This issue of blood, she got healed." Yeah, do you read that story? I mean, that's real plain. We went over that. The woman said, "If I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." She was already in faith. And he even told her, he said, "Woman, your faith has made you whole." Your faith has made you whole. And here's these two men, and it says this, "And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him." They didn't stop. They kept coming. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said, King James says, "Yea, Lord," or "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, so be it unto you." And their eyes were opened. Wow. You know, the Message translation on this verse says, "According to your faith, so be it unto you." It says, "Become what you believe." I like that. That's good. Now, this isn't just not once or twice. This is all throughout the Scripture. If you go to the individual healings recorded in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to find this principle over and over and over. Thy faith is made according to your faith, so be it unto you. As you have believed, so be it unto you. Woman, your faith has made you whole. And it all falls in line with whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Believe you receive them and you shall have them. All things that you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, gives to all men liberally, and breath not, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that doubts is like the wave of the sea tossed to and fro. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Do you believe that I am able to do this? The right response would be, "Yes, Lord." Amen. I do believe. Well, then, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And their eyes were open. Wow. You know what? I'm going to work on my faith. How about you? I'm going to work on my faith. I'm going to quit being so distracted. I'm going to get serious. Now, I got a serious problem. I'm going to get some serious faith going. And that takes effort, and it takes discipline, and it takes retraining your mind and your thinking, but it is what Jesus said on many occasions, over and over and over and over.